Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for listening. This is the Hour of Intercession. My name is Pastor Joseph Parker. As always, we appreciate you listening in. We invite you to look with us in the Gospel of John, chapter 1. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Again, John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, starting at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Now this is the testimony of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who are you?' He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, 'I am the Christ. I am not the Christ.'" Verse 20 again, "He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ.' And they asked him, 'What then? Are you Elijah?' He said, 'I am not.' 'Are you the prophet?' And he answered, 'No.' Then they said to him, 'Who are you, that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself?' He said, 'I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now those who were sent were from the Pharisees, and they asked him, saying, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to loose." These things were done in Bethabara beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Verses 1 through 28, John chapter 1. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, for the fact that your word blesses us, strengthens us, encourages us, builds us up. Your word saves us. Your word heals us. Your word does so many good things for us. And Lord, thank you for the fact that your word is the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to grow in our desire to fill our minds, our hearts, our lives with your word. And help us to be faithful not only to fill our lives with your word, but to share that word with others, to bless them as well. We thank you and we praise you for that blessing, that opportunity, that privilege that we have every single day. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Let me remind you once again, we invite you to be a part of this very important campaign we're involved with called Open the Floodgates. It's a campaign in which we're working alongside the Bible League International, to share the gift of the gospel, that is the written word of God. Only 1 in 10 believers on the continent of Africa have his own copy of the Bible, God's word. 50 million Christians in Africa don't have their own Bible. We're inviting you to partner with us, along with Bible League International, to help share the gift of copies of the gospel being shared with lots and lots of individuals on the continent of Africa. You can simply call this number, 1-800-YES-WORD. Again, that's 1-800-YES-WORD. Your gift of $5 is a gift that will transform lives through the precious word of God as we help put Bibles in the hands of those that do not have them. Keep in mind, $25 provides 5 Bibles, $50 provides 10 Bibles, and $100 provides 20 Bibles. Once again, that number to get involved with this great outreach is 1-800-YES-WORD. Again, that's 1-800-YES-WORD. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk, read from the Gospel of John, chapter 1. And I want you to keep in mind, God's Word is a powerful, powerful book. It's the Bible, the written Word of God, is the best-selling book in all of the world. There's not another book that comes particularly close to it. Again, it outsells every other book all over the world. Well, keep in mind, the Word of God, the written Word of God, is a book full of the words of God. It's the Word, but it's full of the words of God. Now, keep in mind, the Word of God was inspired and God moved upon individuals over a period of years to write the written Word of God. So basically, God used human beings as his secretaries, but the Bible is God's book. God is the author of the Bible, the Word of God. Again, he used human beings, but he inspired every word of it. So it's the Word of God. People were his secretaries, but it's the Word, the precious Word of God. Today, we want to look specifically at this topic, words that bless and words that heal. Again, words that bless and words that heal. Now, it's interesting to think of this. In the course of a day, as human beings, we say thousands of words. Now, if you ask your average person, how many words do you think you speak in the course of a day? Most people couldn't tell you. We tend to think we say a lot less than we actually do, but on your average day, most of us will speak thousands of words. An important question is, how productive are the words that we speak? There's great power in words, power to do all kinds of things, especially communicate, but there are many other blessings that come from the Word of God and using words as well. So I want you to keep this very important point in mind then. There's great power in words, especially in the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." All of God's words found within the Word of God carry light, they carry grace, they carry power, they carry joy. Remember this, God's word is pregnant with the ability to bless. That's why it's very important to know that all of God's words found within the Word of God, the written word of God, the Bible, will bless, will encourage, will minister to people as we read and meditate on them, as we hear them, as we hear someone else read them or hear them being, as we listen to the recorded Word of God. But remember, they will bless you. And I want to say to every listener, if you don't have a form of audio Bible in your home or in your vehicle that you can listen to, I would encourage you to get some form, whether it's the CD, a Bible CDs, or whether they're the Bible on an MP3 player or through some other means where you have it on your iPhone or however you, whatever you use, but get the recorded Word of God. Now, I want to suggest to you, never let anything else replace the reading of God's Word. If you're able to read, now obviously some individuals may, for example, if a person happens to not be able to see or for whatever reason they're not in a position to read, to listen to the reading of God's Word is very valuable. It's very fruitful, very encouraging. But if you're an individual and you know how to read and are able to read, I would encourage you to never let anything replace the reading of God's Word for you. Remember, when you read God's Word for yourself, you're engaging your entire being. You're reading it, you're using your mind, your sight, and other parts of your body and just your being as well. So remember, I would encourage you, never let anything else replace the reading of God's Word. However, along with that, it's very valuable to get an audio form of the Bible. Now, let me explain this, and I want you to be very clear on what I'm telling you. It's very wise to use that to supplement your reading for this reason. You know, for example, on your average day, a believer may read maybe 2, maybe 3, maybe 4, maybe 5 chapters in the Bible, which is a good thing, a very good thing. But in terms of listening, along with your reading, if you get an audio form of a Bible and listen to it, you can cover a whole lot of ground in a short period of time. For example, when you're getting ready to go to work or go to school in the morning and just turn on that audio Bible, you can listen to several chapters in a short period of time. Also, when you're riding to work or coming back from work or riding somewhere for a period of time, just turn on the audio Bible in your vehicle while you're riding. You can cover a whole lot of ground. But remember, one of the reasons why it's so fruitful is because the Bible, the Word of God, are God's words. God's words, that is the Word of God, is pregnant with the ability to bless you. It will pour grace and peace and light and encouragement into your mind, your life. And remember, God's word will bless you. It will bring healing to any aspect and every aspect of your life. It will comfort you. It can encourage you. It can lift you up when you feel down. It can encourage you when you feel discouraged and depressed. It can do all kinds of good things for you. So, you know, we really need to push a lot of the other things in our lives aside. Now, we live in a world full of distractions, all kinds of electronic gadgets that take up much of our life. Remember this. Whatever you might be think, whatever you may that may come to your mind, again, all kinds of gadgets that we use. We listen to, we watch television, we look at the internet. You're listening to even radio now. And of course, obviously, these can be good things, but also many times the way we use them isn't so fruitful. The fact is we can waste a lot of time, and lots of people waste lots and lots of time watching frivolous things on television, things that don't bless, things that don't edify, things that don't encourage you, things that really amount to little or nothing, and sometimes things that tear you down. But we, as human beings, we spend lots and lots of time looking at things that are distractions, things that pull you away from what's more important. Again, lots and lots of adults spend lots of time playing video games, for example. Now, understand this. Entertainment has a place in life. But actually, the place of entertainment is to be a very small part of your life. It's to be a part of your leisure and relaxation time. But for many people, they live for entertainment. They live to be entertained. And in our society, some of the highest and best paid people are entertainers, or people who are connected to the sports industry or the entertainment industry. And it's not even their fault. The reason for that is because people, as human beings, sad to say, as human beings, we often worship entertainment to a fault. We spend much time, money, and energy with entertainment, so much so that some of the highest paid people in the world are entertainers. Why? Because human beings spend lots and lots of money to be entertained. But keep in mind, we need to invest more in things that will draw us closer to God, point us to God, to the things of God, and things that will teach us to walk with God, to honor God in our lives. And so spending more time listening to the Word of God, reading the Word of God, and things that watching and engaging in things that will point you to the Word of God is a very important and wise thing to do. There's great power in our words, and filling your life with words that will bless you and heal you is very, very important. So again, we're looking today at the topic of words that bless and words that heal, and I want you to really grasp what we're saying. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the fact that as we spend time reading and meditating on your word blesses us, it encourages us, it programs us more and more to think and act and walk like Jesus. It helps us to come to know you better. It helps us to draw closer to you. It helps us to walk in step with you and your word and your spirit and your will. It builds us up. It strengthens us in ways we need to be strengthened. It nourishes our mind, our body, and our spirit. Thank you for how that your word ministers to every aspect of our being. Lord, help us to be wise enough to learn to make it a high priority, one of the top priorities of our day every day, to simply spend time with you in your word. And help us also as parents to be wise enough to teach and train our children to do the same thing. And help us as disciples of you to be wise enough to trust you and to look to you for guidance and help, to be effective disciple makers so that we also can teach and train and encourage others to do the same thing in their lives. Help us to know, Lord, that as we teach and encourage others to become students of your word, that we will bless them in so many ways, that we will help them, that we will encourage them. Guide us, Lord, to know that you called us to make disciples, that the Great Commission is that of making disciples, and a big part of that is teaching and training and encouraging others to get into your word. Lord, help us to learn to make that a priority every day, and we're leaning and trusting upon you to help us do that. We thank and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Today we're looking at the topic of words that bless, words that heal. We'll be right back.
I believe one of the greatest needs for this generation is for men to be men.
Pastor, author, musician, Carl King.
Men have lost their initiative and they're spending time in games and pornography, and the culture is vomiting this out and many men are just sucking it up. But I think that the Word of God, and I think that our culture is asking for men to step up and say, okay, I'm gonna use that manliness that God has given me. I'm gonna be a provider, I'm going to be a help, I'm going to be a protector, I'm gonna stand up. I'm not gonna use and exploit women. By me being self-controlled and self-disciplined, I'm going to change the world.
Advancing truth, wisdom, and empowerment. UrbanFamilyTalk.com.
Can you imagine what the Pharisees thought after they learned of Saul's Damascus Road experience? Saul had been to the Sanhedrin and gotten permission to kill anybody that looked like they could have been Christian. And now he's had this life-changing experience on the Damascus Road that in an essence and an instant changed him from a killer to an apostle. We too are changed when we come in contact with the Lord. A true encounter, a true experience. You can imagine, and many a picture has depicted, the people's reaction to Paul after his conversion. He didn't act the same and he didn't talk the same. So I have a question for you. Can anyone tell that you've had an encounter with the Lord? It's not about how big your Bible is. It's not about if you can quote every scripture from the Bible and give its reference. It's all about your life change and how you live. Thank him today for your transformation. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at UrbanFamilyTalk.com.
Our country is in trouble. We're in a moral nosedive.
And recovery won't come from a political party. It'll come from returning our focus to God. You can help by being a part of the Decision America Tour.
In 2016, the Decision America Tour will visit all 50 states. At each stop, Franklin Graham will share the life-changing truth of Jesus Christ and challenge Christians to live out biblical principles at home, in public, and at the ballot box.
And I really believe this next election is going to be one of the most critical elections in the history of our country.
Be bold about your faith in Christ. Sign up for your state's prayer team. You can also get friends together to pray for America, our leaders.
And for the Decision America Tour.
If you do, we'll send you a free prayer journal to encourage you in your prayer life. Go to DecisionAmericaTour.com.
The only hope for this country is the Church of Jesus Christ.
DecisionAmericaTour.com.
This is the Hour of Intercession with Pastor Joseph Parker on Urban Family Talk.
Me music of Denitra Moore, the song Only God Can. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Thanks again for listening in. I want to remind you once again, today we're looking at the topic of words that bless and words that heal. It's important for us to make it a goal to put the words that we speak in the course of a day to work very fruitfully and productively. Words are very valuable, and there's great power in words, the words we speak. Now, there's greater power in the Word of God. That's one of the reasons why it's so important for us to make it a goal to read and meditate on God's Word each and every day. You bless yourself tremendously when you just simply spend time reading and meditating on God's Word. When you're reading the Word of God, the creative universe, God our Heavenly Father, is spending time one-on-one with you. And remember this, between you and I and God, God is a whole lot busier than we are. Yet God will spend all the time that you and I will take with him in his word. Now, you may want to ask the question, well, how can God do that? He deals with billions of people, with millions and millions of people every single day. And when we're dealing with just God one-on-one, how can God afford to do that? Well, keep in mind, when we think like that, and when we even ask a question like that, we're trying to put God down on our level. God can give more attention to a million people at one time than you and I can give to one single individual. Now, if you wonder, well, how in the world can he do that? Well, again, that's a good question. Be sure you get saved and go to heaven. And when you get to heaven, ask God that question. But the fact is, he is God and we're not. So we need not boggle our minds by trying to figure that one out. But the reality is, God will spend as much time with each of us as we will spend with him. It's important that we make time for God. Again, because if you wanted to spend time one-on-one with the president or any other leader in the world, typically it'd be pretty tough to try. But the reality is, God, the creator of the universe, who's so much greater, so much more powerful, so much higher than any human leader in the world, but he will spend time one-on-one with you and I all the time that you and I spend. Let's be sure and do that. Reading God's word will bless you tremendously. Make it a high priority for your day every single day. Remember, there's great power in your words. But it's important that we not only seek to receive the word of God, but we should seek to pass that word on to others as well. Remember, every day we can speak words that bless and words that heal and share those words if we choose to do that. Now, I've looked it up and it said on the internet that your average woman speaks somewhere around from 5,000 to 10,000 words a day, average man between 2,000 and 3,000. So women, on average, tend to speak more words than men, but the key issue is not so much how many words you speak, but how many fruitful words do you speak? Do your words bless people, or do they discourage people? Do your words lift them up and encourage them, or are your words tearing people down and bringing trouble and difficulty into their lives? Words have power. They have great power, and it's important that we're using our words fruitfully to bless the lives of other people, to encourage them, to bring healing and wholeness to their lives. In the book of Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, it says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." Now, let me read that again. That's Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." Remember, so basically God's word is saying we can speak words that lead to death, or we can speak words that lead to life. So a very important question is, what are our words doing every single day? Let's think about it. What are some words that bless and words that will heal others? Well, here's some healing words are. Some healing words, words that will heal, words that bless, words that encourage the lives of others, words that will bring goodness into the lives of other people. What are some of those words? Words like, thank you, I appreciate you, you're a blessing, you're precious, you're thoughtful, or sometimes maybe questions we ask, how can I pray for you? How can I help you? I'm sorry. I was wrong. Please forgive me. Those are just a few words. Again, words that bless, words that heal. They're words we can speak that express love, concern, and encouragement to others. Make it your goal. In fact, pray daily that God would help you to speak words that will bless others, that will encourage others, that will nourish others in their lives. That's very, very important. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that you give us, each of us as believers and every believer listening and more believers in the body of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity we have of being able to speak words that will bless the lives of others, that will encourage them, words that will point them to you, words that will help them to walk and live in such a way where more and more they honor you. Guide us, Lord, so that daily more and more we will use our words very, very wisely. Lord, of the thousands of words we speak each and every day, help us to live so that our words count. Help us to live so that every word we speak will count, will bless, will encourage others, and point them to you. Guide us and daily fill us afresh with your Spirit who works through us so that more and more our words will do just that, will bless, encourage, and point others to you. We thank you and praise you for that opportunity. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Pray daily that God will anoint your words, that he'll anoint your tongue so that the words you speak will bless and encourage others. Again, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, that's a good verse to both memorize and to remember every single day. Again, chapter 18, verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Again, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Now, keep this in mind as well. When we pray, we're using words. We're using words now. Keep in mind, remember, prayer is a two-way conversation now. Remember, when we pray, when we talk to God, we're using words, expressing words from our heart to God as well. But also when God speaks to you in your heart. Now, obviously, when you're reading the Word of God, God is using words to speak to you. But also, when God speaks to you in your spirit, typically he will speak in words. Sometimes he may speak through an impression. But often God will speak to you in words. He'll speak words into your mind or in your heart, but he speaks to us in words as well. So remember this, the words we speak in prayer are especially valuable because when you're talking to God in prayer, you're using words to do things that will draw you closer to God and that will encourage you as well. Now keep in mind, when we pray, sometimes God says yes, sometimes he says no, sometimes he says wait. But remember, it's very productive to pray about a matter even when God ends up saying no. For this reason, when you've prayed about it, you've spent time with God, communing with him, trying to get an answer from him. Well, even when he says no, you still can end up closer to God because you spent that time talking to him, seeking his guidance, his help, his direction. So the words we expend talking to God in prayer can be valuable even when God says no. So make time to talk to God, but also you're a little bit closer to God and you know him better because when he says no, he always says no for a reason. When God says no, he says no because I have a better plan. No, because that's not for you. I've got something else for you. But remember, you're still better off for having spent that time talking with God in prayer. And remember, you use words when you pray. So one of the most valuable uses for the words you speak will be the words you speak to God in prayer, the words you express from your heart to God in prayer. And that's very, very important. Now, keep in mind also in the book of James in the New Testament, James is an interesting book, a unique book, and a powerful book, a very direct book. He was a vessel the Lord used to speak some words of great wisdom, and very candidly, he spoke the words that he spoke. In James chapter 3, I want to read a portion from that chapter. James chapter 3, starting at verse 1. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles? And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt, water, and fresh. Verses 1 through 12, James chapter 3. So here in James chapter 3, it lays out for us very clearly that the tongue is powerful and the tongue can do lots and lots of damage when allowed to just fly wild and go wherever a person allows it to go. The fact is, it speaks of the tongue as being set on fire of hell. And of course, that's the tongue, an unredeemed tongue, or a tongue that's allowed to go and be used of Satan to do destruction of the world. Remember, words are powerful. Words can do great good, and words can bring great damage in the world. You know, I recall as a child hearing the saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me. That's probably one of the biggest lies you will ever hear in your whole wide world. Lots of harm is done through words every day of your life. Lots of damage, lots of trouble, lots of difficulty is caused in the world because of words. So it's important that we seek to honor God in the words we speak. It should be our goal to speak words that bless and words that heal. Now, to every listener, I want to encourage you to make it a goal to, on a regular basis, in fact, I would say on a daily basis, first, I would hope that you have the habit of reading God's word every day yourself. I like to encourage a goal of reading at least 3 chapters in the Bible every single day. That's a good basic spiritual diet. Now, if you decide you want to do more, great. The fact is, you can't overeat God's word. You can't consume too much. It only increases the flow of grace and blessing in your life. But 3 chapters is a good minimal meal for you on a daily basis. But now, not only should you do it, but parents, it's very important for us to make it a goal to wisely and faithfully teach and train our children to do the same thing. Now, keep in mind, you can read your average 3 chapters in about 15 minutes or so. Remember, there are 4 segments of 15 minutes in every hour. You have 24 hours in a day. Now, don't try to convince yourself or convince anybody else that you don't have time to do that. You and I basically do, in the course of a day, what we choose to do. We do what we want to do. Make time for God's word. Parents, let's make time to help teach and train our children to read the word of God as well. Remember, nothing will bless your children like the word of God will. So helping them to read it every day is very important. Grandparents, if you have grandchildren, when you have the opportunity, make it a goal to help them to read God's word every day. And remember, granddad and grandmom, if you do that, whether it's in person or by telephone, you will bless your grandchildren tremendously. In fact, sometimes some grandparents, when they do that, when they have their grandkids, for example, either when they're visiting in their home or maybe even by telephone, when you have a grandfather or grandmother that will encourage a grandchild, read this chapter out loud for granddad on the phone before we hang up. Read this for grandma. If you'll do that, granddad and grandmom, sometimes you might be the only person in that child's world that encourages them to read the word of God. Now, I want you to think about that. Again, you might be the only person in that child's whole world that encourages them to read God's word. Granddad and grandmom, do that for your grandchildren. It will bless them tremendously. Help them to do that. But make it a goal not only with your children and grandchildren, make it a goal regularly to encourage others that you interact with at home, on the job, in the community, organizations that you're part of or places that you go. Regularly challenge and encourage others to set that same goal of reading 3 chapters a day in the world and in the lives of the people you're around. You know why you should do that? Because lots of people will hear that challenge one time, and they'll take it and run with it. And through the challenge you share with them, you may be the person through which God will reach and start them in the reading of God's word on a consistent basis, and you will bless them tremendously. Make it a goal to regularly challenge and encourage to do just that. Lord, thank you for the chance to encourage others to read your word every single day and thus be blessed by your word as they read and meditate and think on your word. Lord, help us to live so that wherever we go, we challenge and encourage others to do that, to start reading 3 chapters a day. And so help us more and more to become a great blessing to the people around us as we move and interact with them, just knowing that so many people have Bibles, but sadly, lots of those Bibles are collecting dust. Help us to change that, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk as we talk today about the topic of words that bless and words that heal. We'll be right back.
Hi, my name is Isaías. I got introduced to meth through my cousin. All I found was just loneliness, anger, and just no hope for my future. With what I've learned in Teen Challenge, my life will never be the same.
If you know an adult or teenager who's struggling with a chemical addiction, Teen Challenge can help. Call us today at 417-581-2181 or reach us online at teenchallengeusa.com. This is Urban Family Talk.
Family is an institution set forth by God, one man and one woman for life, with the outflow being children produced by that union. It's obvious to all that there is an attack on the family in our country, and especially on fathers. Whether it's the cycle of sin that persists in our families or the pressure from our government to exclude men from being intimately involved, the strategic battle is on for the souls of men. Join us in the battle to strengthen fatherhood. UrbanFamilyTalk.com.
The Bible tells us Satan is fighting a war he can't possibly win. So why does he keep trying? Dr. Tony Evans offers this insight as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Satan has an agenda. That agenda is to bring the world under his control and make Christians ineffective in bringing others out of the war-torn zone, to make us ineffective in leading others to victory rather than defeat. First of all, he attacks your individual life. 1 Peter 5:8 says, Satan, like a roaring lion on the prowl, is seeking whom he may devour. To put it bluntly, he's after you. And no matter who you are, what your status is, he wants to overthrow you. And when you look closely at Christians today, you find many Christians who are in the POW camps of hell. He has overthrown them in the area of drugs, and they are held hostage. He's overthrown them in the area of alcohol, and they are held hostage. He's overthrown them in the area of discouragement and depression, and they are prisoners of war. He's overthrown them in this area or that area, and you can call it what you like. There are many names for it, but in the spiritual realm, in the spiritual conflict realm, they become prisoners of war.
Stop being a victim of the spiritual battle going on around you. Request a copy of Dr. Evans' book, Victory in Spiritual Warfare. It'll show you how to break the bonds Satan uses to keep us down, including those traps like substance abuse or sexual, emotional, or relational issues. Get a copy of Victory in Spiritual Warfare today by visiting us at TonyEvans.org. Again, that's TonyEvans.org. Then join us next time as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
You're listening to the Hour of Intercession with Pastor Joseph Parker on Urban Family Talk.
Before your throne. have dominion.
Music from the group The Walls, the song Praise Goes to You. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Today we're looking at the topic of words that bless and words that heal. Remember this, every day in the course of a day you speak thousands of words on average. A good question to ask ourselves is how many of your words will bless others, will encourage others, will make their lives better because you spoke to them, and how many people how many people's lives will be touched and discouraged or in some way or another damaged because we spoke to them. Be careful the words you speak. Pray daily for the Lord to guide your words so that they will be words of life, words of grace, words of blessing. Again, we were sharing earlier about from the book of Proverbs, chapter 18, verse 21. And keep in mind, it's one short verse, but it's a powerful verse. Again, Proverbs 18, 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Again, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Some people can speak a word to you that will bless you and help make your day. And sometimes people will speak a word or some words to you that can help ruin your day as well. May it be the goal of every believer listening to live in such a way that daily we will speak words that will bless and help make someone's day, that will make their day better, a more blessed day, a grace-filled day, a goodness-filled day. And I hope that none of us will live in such a way that we're regularly or even from time to time speaking words that will ruin someone's day, that will discourage someone, that will cause a person to stumble because of something that we said or something that we expressed to them. Again, we want to daily speak words that will bless, words that will heal, words that will comfort, words that will encourage, words that will point people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, the Great Commission is to go into all the world and make disciples. Well, how do you do that? We do it largely with words. When we share the gospel with another human being, when we share the gospel with someone who doesn't know Christ as their Lord and Savior, we're using words. We're using words of life, words based on the Word of God, words that are drawn from the Word of God, that teach and point someone to Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world. John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We need to live in such a way that daily, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we're sharing words that will express the gospel to people who desperately need to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. We live in a world where so many people are not saved. They don't know Christ. And so as we open our mouths to share the gospel, to share our testimony, to tell others of the goodness of God and what God has done in our life, we're using our words to point people to eternity, to point people to Jesus Christ as Savior. And what a wonderful privilege and opportunity is for us to live so that daily God is flowing through us to draw people off the road of hell onto the road going to heaven. Let's pray daily that God would use us more and more in that way. Lord, thank you for the opportunity you give us to be vessels through which you can work to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, the life-giving words of salvation to a world that desperately needs to be drawn out of darkness, out of the kingdom of darkness, into your marvelous light. Help us, Lord, daily to use our words wisely so that daily we'll be vessels of your Holy Spirit through which you can reach to help others come to know Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives. Lord, use us daily to do miraculous work towards pointing others to Christ. Lord, we ask that you'd use us to help hundreds, even thousands on a daily basis to come to know Christ through the words we speak, maybe the words we use on social media or on Facebook or on whatever other means we have at our disposal. But help us to use our words daily to point people to Christ and also to edify others, to encourage them in their walk, to disciple others, to help them draw closer to you as well. Lord, help us to make the most of all the words we speak, the words we express through one form or another, the words we use daily. More and more, help us to use them in a way that you're honored and your kingdom is built daily. We thank you and we do praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. In the book of 2 Kings in the Old Testament, interesting story, a powerful story, and I want to share with you about this story because it has a great, great message about using our words wisely. In the book of 2 Kings, chapter 5, it tells a story. It's a story, one of the stories about the powerful prophet Elisha, and specifically his interaction with a foreigner by the name of Naaman. 2 Kings chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, "If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy." And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, "Thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel." Then the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. Then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, "Now be advised, when this letter comes to you, that I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy." And it happened when the king of Israel read the letter, that he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and make alive, that this man sends a man to me to heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me." So it was when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." Then Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean." But Naaman became furious and went away and said, "Indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Are not the Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Verses 1 through 14, 2 Kings chapter 5. Now I want you to notice in this chapter, this powerful chapter, the very important place that words spoken played in every part of this story. It's a powerful story, but keep in mind how the word of God and words of wisdom that are spoken, and how they play a very important part in every part of this particular story. Notice this now again. The Syrians had captured and kidnapped a little girl from Israel and brought her to the land of Syria. She could have been there and could have been bitter and upset with the Syrians for having pulled away from home, but instead, she remembers her God, remembers the God of Israel. And she remembers his power, and she remembers one of the men of God, Elisha, and how God could use him to bring healing to people's lives. And with God's grace and mercy and compassion in her heart, she speaks to her mistress how that God could use the prophet Elisha to heal her master Naaman. Again, God uses her words to bless that family. God uses her words to point them to God. God uses her words to remind them or help them come to be aware of the power of the God of Israel. May it be our goal every day that God would use our words to point people to God, to his goodness, to his grace, to his mercy, to his ability to bring healing, wholeness, and deliverance to the lives of anyone who's going through any storm, any trouble, any difficulty in their lives. God used the words of this little girl to point Naaman in the direction of where he could get his healing, where he could encounter the God of Israel. Well, again, just to kind of abbreviate a little bit, well, of course, in this story, not only does God use the words of this little girl, well, in turn, the king of Syria is impressed, and he writes a letter. He writes down words on a letter and sends them to the king of Israel, basically asking him on his behalf to allow him to meet this man of God. Well, of course, in the letter, he just basically sends Naaman there to Israel to get healed, and the king of Israel doesn't know what to do, so he's discouraged, but the Lord uses the words of this king to help point Naaman in the right direction as well. Well, Elisha hears about what the king says. The king's words are actually discouraging words, but Elisha hears about it. And Elisha lets him know, "Send Naaman to me." Well, of course, Naaman comes to the house of Elisha, but notice what happens. Elisha doesn't even come out. He just sends words of instruction. Now, the words of instruction he sends are the words sent from God. These are God's words of wisdom that he shared with Elisha and for Elisha to pass on to Naaman. Well, again, Naaman comes there, and again, Elisha doesn't come to the door. He sends his servant and tells him, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean. Now remember, Elisha is passing on the word of God. The word of God was that which would lead to healing. And all Naaman had to do was obey the word of God. Notice what happens, though. Initially, Naaman is furious. He's upset. He's offended. Why? Elisha doesn't even come to the door. But remember, Elisha didn't need to come to the door. All Naaman needed was the words of God, the instruction of God, the wisdom of God. But Naaman had made up in his mind what he thought should happen. Well, keep in mind, all he needed was the word of God, because that was enough. God's word was enough, but Naaman didn't seem to think that was enough. He's offended, and he goes on to tell his fellow soldiers, this is how I think it should have happened, and I'm upset that he didn't even come to the door and even greet me. Doesn't he know who I am? So initially he's upset, and he's leaving in a rage. But God uses the words of wisdom of one of his companions, who basically says, my father, if he had told you something simple, wouldn't you have just done it? Why not just do what the prophet said? So by the grace of God, God uses the words of Naaman's companion, and he turns around, and God's grace is working through this whole situation. Naaman turns around, goes, and carries out the instructions God sent through Elisha. He goes to the Jordan River and dips down 7 times and comes up healed and whole, and his skin is like that of a little baby. Well, of course, Naaman receives his healing because he heard the word of God and obeyed it. He heard words that would lead to healing and blessing and grace. When you and I, when we read the Bible, when we hear God's word and obey his word, God's word brings healing and wholeness and blessing to our lives as we hear it and apply it to our lives. That's the nature of the word and the words of God. They bring healing and wholeness and blessing to our lives. But we've got to be hearers and doers of the word. Remember, God's word can bless and heal any day of the week. And we're wise to speak the words of God and to stand on the words of God and to share the words of God so that we too can bring blessing and healing into the lives of others. Lord, thank you for the gift, the wonderful gift your word is to each and every one of us. Thank you, Lord, for the truth that your word can bless us, it can heal us, it can comfort us, it can encourage us, it can bless us because your word is pregnant with the ability to bless. Help us to be wise enough to spend time and to make it a high priority to read and meditate on your word every day. And help us to not only read it for ourselves, help us to be wise enough to teach and train our children and our grandchildren and others that we, our fellow co-workers, our brothers, our sisters, and people we know. Help us to live a lifestyle of encouraging others to read and meditate on and apply your word to their lives as well. Thank you for the opportunity to do that each and every day. Thank you for your word that blesses and heals every single day. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks for listening today. You've been listening to the Hour of Intercession as we've looked at the topic of words that bless and words that heal. As always, we appreciate you listening in. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.